Alleluia, alleluia.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and as your arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told him a parable. There was a rich man whose land had produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have enough space to share my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So last week, I had to deal with disappointment. 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago, Father Nick and I and several other priests and the bishop went to a conference in Dallas. And this was the weekend after the priest turnover had happened, the priest assignments had changed. And while ours here didn't change much, except for Father Ronaldo's slightly early departure back to El Salvador, we were affected by this because of St. Anthony. And so, to be perfectly honest, the last year has just been horrible. Like, my life has really been bad for about 9 or 10 months because I've been trying to cover two different parishes, and I know that it's caused harm here. I know that I've not been sufficiently attentive. I know that we had some momentum coming in last fall that, frankly, we've lost. I can show you that on the balance sheet if you want me to. But not only that, like, I know things did not work their well here. But I was trying to hold these two parishes together, and thanks be to God, there are two very able, kind, generous priests who stepped in down there now. And I thought, we're going to go to this conference, I'm going to get all charged up, and I'm going to come back, and we're finally going to be able to do what I wanted to do the whole time. And then I got COVID. Or rather, I took COVID with me to the conference and infected half the priests. And so I'm now patient zero for the Divine Renovation Conference in Dallas. Now, the good news is I'm so far past my infection date, you're all super safe. But I'm not going to lie. Last Saturday and Sunday, I sat in my little room in the rectory just feeling sorry for myself because I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. You ever been there? I know, Henry. I'm there sometimes, too. As I was sitting there in my little room, surrounded with my books and my computer and everything that tells me the external measures I'm supposed to use to figure out whether I'm doing my job, whether I'm being a good priest, whether I'm leading you well as a parish, it occurred to me that absolutely none of this matters. My shelves are always overflowing with books, more than probably I'll be able to read in a lifetime. I have notes written all over the place with all kinds of brilliant ideas. I have records of people that I've been with over the course of the last year, all the things that I wanted to come and tell you about, and none of it matters. I can say, rightly, with the poet of the first reading, vanity of vanities, all of this is vanity, all of it's nothing. It don't matter. Because it's not what matters to God. Don't misunderstand me. I do believe God has a vision for our parish, a plan or a dream for how we're supposed to be. I do think God had stuff he wanted me to learn at the conference and Father Nick and I to bring back. I think he has some very specific designs on several of us, some of whom I'll be tapping after Mass. But no, I don't think God cares about the particular program that we use. I don't think he's especially interested in which fundraising techniques we decide to employ. I don't think he really cares how the ADA turns out or how successful we are in the next capital campaign. But Jesus poses a desperately important question to us at the end of today's gospel. Do you hear it? "So will it be," he says, "for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The question I sat in my little room with during my 10 days of isolation was this: what matters to God? What does God really care about? And therefore, what should I, as a God-fearing man, as a Christian, as a priest, what should I care about? What do I need to stir up in you so that you care about it? The answer is in the parable, but it's not exactly where we're inclined to look. Listen again. "There was," he said, "a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, 'What shall I do? For I do not have space enough to store my harvest.' Ah, this is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build up larger ones." Drive in any direction outside Des Moines, you'll see some farmer that did that 50 years ago. "There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now is for you. You have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, to whom then will they belong?'" God cares about the man. That's the tragedy here. It's not that he had a bunch of stuff nobody else could use. What matters to God is the individual human soul. What matters to God is what ultimately happens to you. What ultimately happens to you. Now, he cares about the day-to-day stuff because that's what determines what ultimately happens to us. He cares about whether or not I had COVID. He cares about which priest preaches the particular sermon on Sunday. He cares about where you go to eat tonight, probably. He cares whether it's Chinese or Mexican. But it's not as though you're really able to mess that up. What he cares about is what you're doing with it. What he cares about is where you're choosing to give. You see, the fool's errand, his mistake here, wasn't in building barns. It was in failing to share what he got. He wound up with an abundance, and rather than share out of his abundance, he chose to hoard it, to miser it. to keep it safe from anyone who might take it. He chose to give in to greed, but perhaps more than greed, he chose to give way to insecurity, to let his anxieties run him. Will I have enough when I get old? Will I be safe? I'll tell you right now, this is the thing I think about a lot because I came into the priesthood back here late. I won't have enough for retirement. I don't care how many capital campaigns they run. Father John can tell you, he was here the whole time and he don't have enough for retirement. Now this isn't a sideways say of saying give us more money. We do have real financial concerns the parish has to deal with. We do need to make the ADA. We will have a capital campaign we launch, all that stuff, yeah, fair. But that isn't what this is about. This is about whether or not we're sharing what we have, whether we recognize that the universal destination of all the things that we have is God. So whether we've got a lot and the guy next to us has a little, or whether we've got all of it and the guy next to us has not, in the final analysis only matters because it's not going where it belongs, to God. And that's not just true of our money. I count 11 people offhand sitting here tonight that I know have lost someone whom they loved in the last year. There might be more of you, but I can see 11 of them. I've buried 9 of them. Can you give them back to God? I mean, I know the day of the funeral, when you were wrecked and weeping in front of me, maybe not. But today, with a little distance, can you give them to God? Maybe it's real fresh. We're not there yet. That's okay. But can you recognize that in the end, that's where they belong? The ones you love best. Those who matter most. Ah, see? Now you can see. Now you can see why it is the person who matters most to God. Jesus didn't die for an ideal. He didn't give his life for a social movement. He didn't even give his life just to make sure that we behave in particular ways. He gave his life, I'm not sure if you gathered this, this is the most important thing anyone is ever going to tell you. He gave his life for you. You. You personally. Your God died for you. And he offers himself forever. It's the reason we do this every day. He offers himself consistently, constantly. We're not re-sacrificing Christ. Christ is continually offering himself in love to the Father for you. From the beginning of time, the maker of the universe set himself out to give everything for you. Because he has a dream, a plan, a vision. Not a mission statement, a vision for you, a dream for you, a plan for you and your life. And his ultimate plan for you and for me and for every human being who's ever lived is that we should be saints. If you settle for anything less than sainthood, then you're as foolish as the old man in the gospel. And you should probably tear down the barns and go home. But if you're open to the possibility of God wanting something more for you, of God imagining a you that doesn't quite exist yet, of God seeing a future for you that is better, that hurts less, that is less vain, if you're open to you mattering more than anything else in the world to God, then you will know that the greatest treasure in the world is sitting right next to you, even if you don't know her name. That the most important thing you could ever encounter is the person in the pew behind you, even if you never turn around and see them. Then your actions will change everything. C.S. Lewis famously says, right, every man, woman, and child you meet walking down the street is destined to spend eternity with the angels in heaven and the devils in hell. Then he smiles and says, choose your friends wisely. He's right. What matters to God? How we treat each other, of course. What matters to God? The sacraments of Mother Church, absolutely. What matters to God? That we change the world so that it's a better place, so that it's more just and peaceful and harmonious, absolutely. But what matters most to God is you. That's why, whatever reason you've come here tonight, that's why God shows up. And he shows up invariably, infallibly. He shows up every time for you. So the question is, if you can grasp it, if you can believe it, if you can buy it, what matters most to you? And where are you gonna give?